That was playing first?
Yes.
Okay.
Because we understand it's Pastor Stephanie's last day, so this is for you. Some special music for a special lady. Thanks for helping us out.
Thank you.
I will try my best to make it through the service today somehow. Scott has promised to adjust mic whichever way it goes, and I just hope it's going to hold until the end of today. This is, of course, my last Sunday here, and in case you have been wondering a little bit why I had been on the one hand committed here to be here all this time in the last 4.5 months and yet have skipped one weekend after the next. Part of those, actually, I talked to the council about right when I started here that I needed to be at a continuing education thing that the Synod had asked me to be at. I had one other commitment to another church in Denver where I was preaching one Sunday. But most importantly, I have been going for the last 19 months, really, through naturalization procedures in the United States. After 32 years, I had been advised to become an American citizen and actually a dual citizen. And fortunately or unfortunately, whichever way you want to see it, it came all to a head in the last 6 weeks that I had interviews and tests and all kinds of stuff down there. They gave me a language test. That was really interesting. Part of my inability to be here for two more Sundays than I had initially said to the congregation and to the council was the fact that that happened. As of last Monday morning at 10 o'clock, I am a dual citizen of both the United States, which was one of the reasons why I asked Sarah, Pastor Sarah, last week to please fend for herself here. And rumors have it she did that quite well. She knows what she's doing. So this weekend is my last weekend here, and I want to say thank you for the ministry that we did get to do together, for, I hope, a few new impulses that could be set in those last 4 months, in the sense of where can we go. Most of my job is to make sure that we think outside the box, that when we say this is the only option we have, to say, actually, you always have more options. And to make sure that we are thinking about more options rather than restricting ourselves and our thinking. I hope we have started on that. If you are going to have Larry Cedo here as the joint interim pastor between the UCC and you, I commend him to your care and to your love. He is a wonderful guy. I know him for a couple of years, several years. I ran clergy visitation programs between the Badische Landeskirche in Germany and the Rocky Mountain Synod, and he went with me on one of the trips over to Germany. Always prepared, always polite, always very nice, so please be nice to him, because he's going to be very nice to you. Other than that, I had tried to open the office up for a couple of days last week and say, if you are eager to still talk to me, please come on in. A couple of you did so, and if there's anything that we have not yet talked about that you wanted to make sure that either I knew or that I should remember for my next interim or bridge appointment, this would be a good time to send me an email and let me know. Let's see. In our prayers, we want to keep Joe Silbernagel and his family, Julie's father-in-law, who died on Wednesday, after a brief and yet a brief illness after a lengthy time of where he has declined over the last years. Are there any other announcements?
Pastor Stephanie, this is for you as a thank you for all you did for our congregation over the last 4 months.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Thank you. Thanks. We'll do the long distance hug. I don't want to pass this thing on to you.
I've been around you anyway, so I'll probably get
true.
Should we have a prayer for Pastor Stephanie? Yes. Okay, dear Father God, we ask you to watch over Stephanie as she goes off to her next venture. We thank you for everything that she has done to help our congregation, and let her help others in her future. In all these things we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
One other announcement. We are doing the God's Work Our Hands today. We've got some projects around the church here, and we're helping out with one downtown. We will be having lunch at 12:30 for anybody that is involved helping. They can stop by and get lunch. Want to stay and help, just talk to some of the people. The women's group is providing the lunch, and they're providing or working on some of the projects to do around the church today as well. So, thanks.
Thank you.
I also also have one. We're, Denise and I are going to try and get together to do the Beth Moore simulcast on September 15th. It's a Saturday. It's all day long, and we were going to do a light lunch with it. And it is $20, and then we were we will take, if you're interested, why don't you call one of us? And we're trying to get people to sign up so we know how many we'll have, and then we'll provide a lunch too, which we were going to ask $5 donation for. So if you're interested, talk to either one of us within the next 2 weeks. Probably we're going to have to get registered soon, like within a week. So anyway, it should be really good. I don't know if you've heard Beth Moore speak, but she's a wonderful, inspirational religious speaker. So.
Are you charging $20 plus the $5?
No. It's $20 for the whole thing. There's nothing to charge except for lunch. We're just asking you to pay for lunch.
Yeah. It costs to register for it. Well, it's an all day. They charge to register to hear the simulcast.
Yeah, but that's a fee that the church or we will pay ourselves. Because it's only $20 for 25 people.
No, I didn't understand it.
Yeah, that's what it was read. Yeah,
so, okay, we'll check on that.
Okay.
Any other announcements? Let's gather our hearts and our minds to worship God. Please rise. Abounding in steadfast love toward us, healing the sick and raising the dead, showering us with every good gift.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Just and gracious God, we come to you
for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. We bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds, forgive us our sins, and free us to love. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
The Apostle Paul assures us, when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to the cross. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace and tell everyone how much God has done for you.
Amen.
Thank you.
that is eternal. Direct our choices and preserve us in your truth, that renouncing what is false and evil, we may live in you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first reading today is from Joshua 24, 1 through 2a and 14 through 18. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. And some of the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Now, therefore, revere the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us all along, all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will say Psalm 34, 15 through 22 responsibly today. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and God's ears are open to their cry.
The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to erase the remembrance of them from the earth.
The righteous cry, and the Lord hears them, and delivers them from all their troubles.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and saves those whose spirits are crushed.
Many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from everyone.
God will keep safe all their homes. Not one of them shall be broken.
Evil will bring death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished.
O Lord, you redeem the life of your servants, and those who put their trust in you will not be punished.
The second reading today is Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Christ according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? And what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. All right, any of the children want to come forward? I'll try not to give you my cold. No congregation needs that many bases. All right, so today, since this is my last day, the question I'm going to ask you is, what's the church? What is the church? The congregation is the church. What else is the church? People. What else? Any other good ideas?
The building.
Thank you. That's usually what comes up first. Okay. What else is the church?
God,
right. There would not be the church without God. That's very true. What else? Anything? Did you hear about God's work, our hands?
Yeah.
Yeah, ministry is the church. When we go out and do something in the name of God, that's the church. What we do back there, communion. What we do right there, baptism. All of them are church. And every Sunday when we come together and Julie plays fabulous music and Sherry had put together a wonderful bulletin, we are having worship and we together are church. So if ever anybody mentions to you that church is only one little thingy, like, that's the church. No, it's always more. It's always more. It's wherever God is present, there is church. Sometimes with music, sometimes without. Sometimes with bread and wine, sometimes without. Sometimes with water, sometimes without. Sometimes in the building, sometimes you all three were at camp. Outside, right? And it was still church, wasn't it? Okay. So that is what I want you to remember from here on, just in case you haven't known it already. The church is everywhere where the will of God is being done. To baptize, to feed people, to celebrate communion together, to listen to what Jesus has to say to us. That's the church. And together, we do it all the time. Not just on Sunday morning. We do it in all kinds of places around Buffalo, around the larger world. The church is wherever Jesus Christ and God are present. So this morning, as we say goodbye to each other, let's pray that we are being held in the grace and in the love of God that always ties us together in this great and wonderful thing that's called the church. Let's pray. Dear God, we give you thanks for the church, for the people who are gathered to do things in your name. We pray that we would always be mindful of those who do church differently from us and yet who are your people, your church as well. Amen. Thank you very much. It's been great to know you. I wish I would get your presentation on camp, but I'm in Germany. Okay, yeah, I know. Will you pray with me? May God grant that only the truth will be spoken here, and only the truth will be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So if you're gluten intolerant or even allergic to wheat, the church has not been good to you lately. For 5 weeks now, we have read lessons that talked about food. First, 5 loaves and 2 fish that multiplied to become a feast for 5,000. Then daily rations of manna raining down from heaven and feeding the Israelites in the wilderness. Elijah being served bread and water twice as he lay moping in the desert. And last week, Lady Wisdom, the mythical personification of all that is good and noble in the Hebrew tradition, promising a feast. Without regard to a government-issued food pyramid or calories per serving tag, but with an invitation and a menu that make it clear that hers is the party in town tonight. And today, it's the Israelites about to enter their new land. You have been fed and sustained by the God of the desert so far, Joshua says. Is this who you want to trust with your future? Now really, how come that of all times before, between the 4th of July cookout and the Labor Day barbecue, we are harping on and on about food? About eating, about meals together. How come that after Jesus eats with just about every tax collector, IRS agent, suspected and convicted felon, leper, and for good measure, women and people with HIV too, how come that after having eaten with all of these folks, Jesus calls himself the bread of life? The living bread that comes down from heaven and feeds and nourishes and sustains the world. After 5 weeks of food stories, food provided by God to God's people in some kind of crisis or another, it is obvious that to God, our physical nourishment and our well-being are important. God wants us to take from the earth what we need to feed our bodies, as well as our spirits, and we are asked to do it wisely, celebrating the good times, sustaining ourselves through the bad, respecting our bodies for both the hunger we feel and for being full, and most especially for knowing the difference between those two. For years now, warnings about the foods we eat and how we eat them have taken a prominent place in our daily news and beyond. From the movie Super Size Me to self-help books on lactose and gluten-free diets, everything we once held true about nutrition seems to be called into question. Much of the firestorm, I think, erupted with the book Fast Food Nation, which I read pretty quickly after it came out. It's a harrowing account of how and what we eat as people, how we use and abuse creation, not to speak of our own bodies, just for the privilege to catch a quick bite, wherever and whenever we want. It tells how the rise of fast food chains has changed not only our eating habits, but our taste buds too, and how our appetite for processed foods is manipulated by chemical taste enhancers as well as advertising that make the Big Mac look like health food. And in the midst of all of his writing about the exploitation of creation, Eric Schlosser includes a wonderfully lyrical reflection on the two birds that circle this nation's west, birds that we know well living here in Wyoming, the hummingbird and the vulture. The eating habits are about as different as it gets, he writes. The vulture seeks out the rotting meat of the desert, while the hummingbird looks for the nectar in desert flowers. Both feed on what they look for. Both thrive on their diets. The vulture lives on what was, feeding on the past. The hummingbird lives on what is, filling itself with freshness and life. When we are hungry, both birds find what they are looking for. And let's face it, when we are hungry, so do we. So here's the question that has to be asked, not just now at the end of my time here and the beginning of yet something new for you in a partnership of the Union UCC congregation, but something that needs to be asked each and every Sunday. What are you hungry for today? An encounter with God? A reunion with friends? The comforting feeling of a place in your life that doesn't ever change? Because the one thing that God will never give us is stale food. Even manna came fresh to the Israelites every day. So what is it that we are looking for? That which was, or that which is and can be? Like this congregation at the threshold of something new, the Israelites are standing at the threshold of their new land. The little that they had taken with them from their lives in the Egyptian slavery has not fared well through the 40 years of wilderness wanderings. Without a shekel to their name, without a synagogue or a church building, without anything that could keep them from moving forward, they declare their allegiance to the God of the desert. And Jesus, in a claim that must have sounded way out to his hometown friends, identifies himself to be the living bread from heaven, the food that endures, the food that leads to eternal life, and they take offense at him. Are we surprised? Who do you think you are? They ask him. And all he responds with is, "Do you also want to go away?" I often think that Jesus' teachings have been difficult and sometimes even a disappointment to a great number of people. That as a general rule, we want to get stuck in the literal exactitudes rather than in discovering what it all means for our life in the world. That 5 weeks of readings on bread and eating is really neither about bread nor about eating, but about living and how to sustain a life for the world. That the life and the death of Jesus, and in fact the entire history of God with God's people, is primarily neither about me or about you or about this congregation, but about the world and who and what we are and can become in this world. The living body of Christ today. Because at this table, we get a taste of bread, a drop of wine, as we celebrate our liberation from the dog-eat-dog world and observe a meal of promise for a life lived in service to the world. The taste of bread and the sip of wine are God's gift to us, gifts of healing, strength, compassion, acceptance, and mercy. They are our sustenance in the wilderness wanderings, however that wilderness may look like. Survival rations when life gets tough, medicine against weakness and despondency. They are our food and drink of faith. And yet, this little piece of bread and this sip of wine, they do more than impart these gifts. They do more than just convey these signs. In life, as in faith, we are what we eat. Around this table and in churches all over the world, you hear the words spoken, the gifts of God for the people of God, and with them, we become Christ's body in the world. No, that's not going to get us our dream jobs, or still all hunger, or quench all thirst that we struggle with, day in and day out. But God's gifts working their way into our lives means that all of our life becomes permeated by them. That all our triumphs and all our disasters, all joy and all pain are not just ours, but God's, as we carry Christ's life and death and resurrection with us wherever we go. Because, of course, that is the purpose of this meal, that we do go. Go out into the world, go into our families, into our workplaces, into our lives outside these doors, and be Christians. Barbara Brown Taylor, one of my favorite writers, always says of communion that this wine and this bread are not eggs Benedict and champagne cocktails for heaven's executives, but a stack of buckwheat pancakes and a pitcher of cold milk for heaven's day laborers. Calories for the work that God has given us to do. Food that would give us muscle and shine through our skins as we are Christians moving forward in this world. Do you also want to go away? Jesus asked the last 12 that are still hearing him out. And Simon Peter, who God knows, doesn't always get it right, says perhaps the truest words spoken in all of the Gospels. There is no one else out there. You are the one on whom we have staked our lives. May it be so with us. Amen. Let us confess what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. That God bless the church, universal in every place, inspiring strength and courage to boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
that God the Creator bless wild animals and family pets, prairies and kitchen gardens, beaches and sandboxes, mountains and herds. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
That God spread the gospel throughout the nations of the world, announcing the words of eternal life to peoples in every land and country. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
That God remember the poor and the brokenhearted and rescue all those in trouble, especially those we name. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
That God protect members of the congregation along all our ways and empower us to serve Christ in sincerity and faithfulness. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
That God will guide and protect Julie and Kevin, Walker and Pat, as they journey through this time of loss. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
That God redeem the lives of those who have served in the faith and raise them up according to the promises of Jesus Christ, the bread that nourishes eternal life. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
Almighty and loving God, we look to you in hope and trust, knowing that you will do far more than we can ask or imagine. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us exchange a sign of God's peace among us.
Yes. Peace be with you. Not sure what to shake hands.
All right, I think no one wants to shake hands with me, so.
Come at you that.
Peace be with you.
Thank you. with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The bread is broken, the wine is poured. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Welcome to the feast.
Thank you.
dream. Body of Christ bred through the dream. Blood of Christ to cup our salvation. Please rise.
Body and blood of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray.
O God, as a mother comforts her child, so you comfort your people. Carry us in your arms and satisfy us with this food and drink.
Face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.